I would invite you all to prepare your hearts for worship.
Please stand as you're able and join us in worship.
Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Whose love is mighty and so much stronger? Shakes the whole earth with holy thunder and leaves us breathless in awe and wonder. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is a failing love that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. You lay down your into order, who makes the orphan a son and daughter, the King of glory, the King of glory, who rules the nations with truth and justice, shines like the sun in all of its brilliance, the King of glory, the King above all kings. Yeah, this is amazing grace, this is unfailing. You would take my place, that you would bear my cross. You laid down your life, that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy. Oh, this is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. You laid down your life, that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. All that you've done for me.
Amen. Amen. Would you pray with me? Almighty and loving God, we give you thanks. We give you thanks that you are with us, that you bring meaning to what might be chaos, that you have risen again. God, we give you thanks that you are God, that you order all things, that you walk with us, that you make a path and a way for each of us. Lord, thank you. And hear our prayers. Hear our prayers as we lift them up to you, whether they were spoken aloud today or they're heavy and quiet in our hearts. Lord, we give thanks for those who are doing well, those who are healing and healthy, those who are on the way to recovery. God, we give you thanks for your healing. We give you thanks for the doctors, for the nurses, for those who have cared for our loved ones. And Lord, be with those who still need healing. Be with those who worry about what might come next. Lord, be with all of us who need your care. Lord, we give you thanks that you continue to be with us, that you do not abandon us, that you continue to offer us health and life and wholeness. Lord, may it be so. May it be so. And God, we give you thanks for all of those days and years and seasons that we have been able to spend with each other, for birthdays, for anniversaries, for even just simple days. God, we give you thanks that you are with us and we are with each other. Lord, help strengthen our bonds of fellowship and relationship. Help us love each other as you have loved us. Help us love ourselves as you have loved us. God, give us your grace to walk in this world that your light might shine through us. And Lord, we pray for your church. We pray for your church that we might be a people formed into your image, that we might reflect the grace and the love of your Son, that day after day we continue to get better, that we continue to grow into who you've called us to be. Lord, forgive us for the ways we've fallen short and help us to take another step towards what you have called us to, your kingdom, your grace, your love. God, we lift up these prayers. We ask that you hear them. We ask that you show us your presence, that we might truly feel it, and we ask that you continue to walk with us. Lord, we ask all of these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. And all the people said, Amen. So with the confidence of those who have been redeemed by Christ, we invite you to pray with us the prayer that Christ has taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen and amen. All right, kids, come on up. Let's see if I could figure one out. A jump rope. A jump rope was the thing in the mystery bag. Isn't that wonderful? Everyone, all of the big kids out in the pews, what lesson should I give today? Does anyone have any ideas? See, I know, right? That's the thing. Thank you to the Cochrans for giving me such a wonderful thing to help use to shine the light of Christ on us. You hold that for me. Thanks. Now, there's a couple things. The first thing I'm doing is what? Untangling this. You know, life is pretty confusing at times. Would you all say that out there? Sometimes life is confusing? Sometimes, you see them all nodding their heads, right? Okay. Life is pretty confusing sometimes, but God helps us untangle the chaos and orders life so that we can do well, and we can be full of joy, and that we can find peace, and that we can be wonderful, beautiful children of God with each other. Right, Susie? Yeah. So that's the first thing. But the other thing that I want to help us remember, or maybe you've heard this before, maybe you have, there's a letter that Paul writes to one of the churches, and he says this big, long thing about what it means to grow as Christians. And I'll skip right to the point. It says, endurance produces character. Do you know what that means? Do you know what endurance is? No? What's endurance? Kind of, but not really? Okay. What's endurance? Yeah, kind of like that. Once you do something over and over again, you get really good at it. Endurance is the stuff that helps you do it over and over and over and over again. How many of you have played with a jump rope recently? How is it? How long can you go? Not very long. How long do you think I could go with this jump rope right now? My daughter has some doubts that I can go very long, right? And she'd probably be right. It's been years since I've used a jump rope. I could probably go for 10 seconds, the sweat would be pouring down my face, and I would be exhausted, and I'd fall and collapse on the floor, and you'd need a new pastor. Amen? Amen. But, yeah, let's not do that, right? But if every day I practice a little bit, over time, what happens? I get better and better, right? If every day I practice a little bit, I get better and better, and I can jump rope longer and longer, and the same thing is true with our spirits. Every day we practice being Christians, we get better and better at being Christians. There you go. See, you're smart. You know this. Every day we practice being kinder, what do we become? Kinder. Every day we practice being more patient, what do we become? More patient, I know. Every day we practice the love of God, we become better at the love of God. And at first, is it easy? No, it's actually pretty hard sometimes. But over time, and with help, because how many of you have coaches? How many of you have teachers? How many of you have people who have helped teach you things that you didn't know? Adults in the pews, how many of you have had coaches and teachers throughout the years? And it's made all the difference, hasn't it? Yeah. Over time, our endurance produces character, and our character produces the stuff that God has made us for. And it makes our lives better and fuller and more wonderful. So, like with a jump rope, I hope that you continue to practice being the children of God by loving each other, by reading scripture, by being patient, by helping each other when people need it, by giving and being generous, by doing all of those things that we practice here in the church. Amen? Amen? Amen. Hey, all the kids in the sanctuary and online, and on the radio, let's pray. Dear God, thank you for being with us and teaching us and training us and giving us tools and giving us games and helping our spirits become stronger and stronger every day. God, thanks. Amen. Thanks, kids.
This morning's New Testament reading comes from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. It is Paul's letter to them. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, on the basis of God's mercy, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable act of worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body, we have many members, and not all the members have the same function. So we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us: prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the encourager in encouragement, the giver in sincerity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. Here ends today's reading. May God give us understanding.
Friends, at this time we have a moment of offering, which is as much about helping partner with the church as it is about remembering all of the ways that God has been faithful, all of the ways that God has blessed us and continues to provide for us. So at this time, I invite you all to reflect upon the ways that God has been good, all the prayers that have been answered, all the things that God does to bless the people in our own lives and our own community. And if you are so moved to partner with us in ministry with God, then we give you thanks. We'll be passing plates around if you have any loose offering or checks that you'd like to give. But if you give online or through EFT, thanks to you as well. It takes a lot of hands. It takes a lot of effort between a lot of different people to help do what the church does, which is proclaim the good news and bring comfort and healing to those who need it. But friends, at this time, we invite you to reflect on the ways that God has been good, because in all things, God is faithful.
I am surrounded on every side, can see the light of day, but I am persuaded beyond all hope, you won't let go of me. I stake my claim on every word you say. You are a
together, and I will dwell in the hope of your love forever. I am convinced that your promises will hold together.
Would you pray with me and bless the offering? Gracious Lord, thank you. Thank you for the ways that you continue to provide for us. Thank you for the ways that you continue to show us your great love. Lord, we know that everything is a gift. The breath in our lungs, the spring in our step, the sight in our eyes. Lord, we know that everything is a gift. So what you first gave to us, Lord, we give back to you. And we give you thanks. Lord, fill our hearts with gratitude, open our hands to generosity. Lord, help us see the people who need your help. Lord, help us be your hands and feet. May your light shine through us. May we be gracious and compassionate just like your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we give you thanks. We ask that you bless this offering. And Lord, we ask that you transform us through it. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Our gospel reading today comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 16, verses 13 through 20. This is the gospel, according to Matthew. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And the disciples said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." Then Jesus said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. The good news of Jesus Christ. And all the people said, Amen. You gotta love Peter, don't you? How many of you had that person in your class where whether they were right, whether they were wrong, they didn't care, they were just gonna blurt out whatever they wanted to think? No one? Oh, come on. Certainly you can think of those people in your past, in your history, in your experience, where they have just said what was ever on their heart. And today Peter says, "Jesus, you are the Messiah. You are the Son of the living God." Which is kind of a dangerous statement for Peter, if we're being honest. It's kind of something that, I don't know, you might get called a little bit crazy for that. You might get called a little bit blasphemous for that. There are laws, you know, and only God is God. So to call Jesus Christ a human, God, is kind of an unsettling thing for many people back in that time. Because when Jesus asked, he asked, "Who do people say that I am?" And some of the answers that were given were, well, some people say you're John the Baptist. Some people say that you're Elijah or Jeremiah or one of those other troublemaking prophets from long ago. What's fascinating to me is that the disciples start to put Jesus in these boxes where they can understand and categorize and clearly delineate and define who Jesus is. They say, well, some people say you're the John the Baptist. You're one of those people out there causing good trouble here today. Certainly a human. Some people might call you an activist. Certainly you're poking the bear at times. But you're spreading the good news of God's kingdom. You're out there doing the work. Other people have said that you're one of those old prophets, one of the people that brought about words and warnings to come, but not only that, also hope of what God was going to do. See, these are the frameworks that the disciples are able to understand who Jesus is. These are the things, these are the ways that we all act in our own lives. We say, I know X, Y, or Z, and that will help me know A, B, or C. See, in many ways, that's how we function as humans. We take what we know and we use that to help us explain and describe what we don't know. But the problem here in the story today is this. Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And up until this point, I don't know if we've seen that before. I don't know if we've experienced that before. And so Peter cries out those words, and Jesus says, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for God has revealed this to you." Friends, let's pray. Lord, open our hearts. Open our minds. Open our eyes and our ears that we might see and hear the good news that you have for us today. Lord, thank you that you are speaking. Thank you that you reveal these things to us. Thank you that you help us understand what might otherwise be confusing. Lord, may we also be called blessed today. Amen. I'm going through the book of Mark on my own because I think the Gospels are pretty neat. I know, I might be a little biased, but I think they're pretty wonderful. But I'm going through the book of Mark, and what's fascinating about the book of Mark, I know we're in Matthew, but what's fascinating about the book of Mark is that over and over Jesus says this phrase, but don't tell them what you know. Don't tell them that I'm the Messiah. Keep it a secret. We're not ready yet. Shh. Over and over Jesus says this, and honestly, as a Christian in the 21st century, it's a little bit confusing to me. It's a little bit confusing because what we're told is to proclaim and preach the good news, to bring hope to those who are without hope, to help people see what God is doing in the world and to find something good and beautiful in the midst of it. And here we have Jesus saying, but don't tell the others. And he says it here, too, in Matthew, which is kind of strange, if we're being honest, especially since we're in chapter 16, which is, you know, honestly, well over halfway through the story. Jesus is telling people, but wait. And he does this when he's transfigured on the mountain with Peter and John. He tells people that it's not time yet to let them know that I am the Messiah, which is a little disconcerting, which is a little bit off-putting, which is a little bit puts us on ground that is not very comfortable. But I wonder here, because what are we talking about? What are we talking about if Jesus truly is the Son of the living God? What are we talking about if we, over the centuries, as we have studied and discerned and claimed that Jesus is both fully God and fully human?
Now, for those who were math majors or those who like numbers, that puts you at what percentage? Not just 100, that puts you at what? 200%, which I don't know, friends, that seems a little odd or a little off to me, but I'm willing to go with this. I'm willing to trust where Christ is leading. See, the problem that we find ourselves in today is trying to understand who Christ actually is. And what does it actually mean when Christ says, I am the Messiah, the Son of the living God? Now, I want us to fast forward through the Christian year a little bit. Kickoff's coming. Don't worry, we'll get there eventually. And then after kickoff is what? It's Advent. Are you ready for Christmas? I know, right? It's not even Thanksgiving yet, and I'm already talking about Christmas. But don't worry, after Christmas, what happens next? Easter, right? Hallelujah, amen. Well, and before Easter, we have Holy Week. Let's not forget that difficult time. See, there are these three concepts that we hold as to what Christ did on this earth. Christ was incarnate, Christ was crucified, and Christ rose from the dead. Christ became wrapped in flesh, Christ suffered and died, and Christ resurrected from the dead. And I think these three ideas give us some insight into who Christ actually is. See, when we say Christ was incarnate, what we mean is Christ became human, which is a kind of a crazy concept. So think in your mind all of those ideas you have about God. You know, God is spirit. God is bigger than the boxes we can put God in. God is eternal. God is not flesh and blood. God does not die. And yet here we have Christ being born into the form of a human, a little tiny baby. Now, I'm sure you've heard this before, but it bears repeating, it bears remembering. Christ became human so that we might know that we are not alone. At least that's one of the reasons. Christ became human so that we might remember that we have not been abandoned by God. God has not just set the clock, set it on the mantle, and walked away. God is actually active in the world. If you're sitting by someone, turn next to them. Turn your head and look at them. If you want to stare them in the eye, that's fine. Do not make them uncomfortable. Amen? Friends, you are not alone. There's a group of people not only in this room, there's a group of people online listening in, there's a group of people on the radio listening in, there are people who are traveling who will return. You are not alone. Christ is incarnate to remind us of that. And Christ lived, and Christ loved, and Christ taught, and then Holy Week came, and what happened? Christ got into a little bit of hot water. Jesus got into some trouble. And that trouble eventually led to what? Death. Death on a cross. Crucifixion. Now, this is the uncomfortable bit of the story. This is the stuff where we kind of turn and say, that's a little bit too violent and gory and bloody for me, which I understand. And I don't even disagree with. But it's still important. It's still something that helps us remember who we are and what God is doing in the world. How many of you have ever struggled with something before? Anything. It doesn't even matter how big or small it is. How many of you have ever struggled with something before? How many of you have ever come against a problem and thought to yourself, this is impossible, I can't do it? How many of you have ever had to step away and give up because of something? Which is a little bit scarier than just going through the trials and the temptations, isn't it? I have a colleague of mine who believes, and I don't think he's necessarily wrong, he believes that suffering is part of being human. That in many ways, that's what separates us from the rocks and the trees and maybe even some animals. That's just a part of the gig. That's where we find ourselves. That life does have hard spots. Amen? Amen. But what's fascinating about the crucifixion is this, is that even in the midst of those hard spots, even in the midst of that suffering, even in the midst of those trials, Christ has looked into it and said, this is not meaningless. This is not without something, some silver lining. Something good can come despite this. Now be careful. Be careful. Because we're on the edge of some really bad theology here, right? God does not delight in producing suffering. I don't even think God necessarily produces suffering. You can fact check me on that one afterwards, and I welcome that, honestly. But God is in the midst of the suffering with us, which is probably much better theology. That again, remember the incarnation? God has not abandoned us. God has not left us alone. We have someone with us. Even in the midst of suffering, God is there. And not only that, but despite the trials and the tribulations that we go through, God is making a way towards something beautiful. Not because of it, but in spite of it. And at the end of the day, when Easter Sunday comes, what happens? He is risen? He's risen indeed. I know, don't worry, we'll get there. We'll get there. See, on the third day, Christ rose again, which teaches us something else, that the end is not actually the end. Death doesn't get the final word. The grave doesn't get the final say. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. And as Paul says in some of his letters, and if Christ has risen, if we have died with Christ, we will rise with Christ. One of the things that that teaches us here in life today is this. Not just our physical deaths, but maybe even the million and one little deaths we experience throughout the day. I know all of us here, or at least many of us here, have probably lost a loved one. I know many of us here have had to deal with disappointment in the workplace or school. I know some of us here have realized that some doors have closed that we didn't think would ever close. I know all of us here have experienced death in its many forms, and yet what Christ says is there is hope. Death is not the end. We will rise again. You will rise again. It is possible. When Peter says, Jesus, you are the Messiah, you are the promised one, you are the Christ, you are the one that's come to save us, you are the Son of the living God. Jesus calls it, says, Pete, you don't know what you just said, but you're right. You're right. God is with you. God walks beside you. God is making a way through whatever life is throwing. And not only that, God is making life beautiful even in the here and now. So friends, have hope. Take courage. Do not despair. Because the Lord is good and God's promises are sure. So it comes back to this, doesn't it? Who do you say Christ is? Who do you say Christ is? A good teacher? A crazy person? A charlatan? Or the Son of God? Friends, at the end of the day, Christ makes a pretty strong claim. He says, and I tell you, you are Peter, which in Greek is Petros, which means rock. You are Peter, and on this Petra, on this rock, I will build my church. Now, I know there have been different interpretations of this over the ages,
But what's fascinating about this here, at least in our tradition, Christ has said, the church will be built on what you have just said. It will be built on this understanding of what this phrase means, that you are the Messiah, you are the living God. The church is built and will stand on these simple, yet complex, yet mysterious, yet beautiful truths. God has not left us. God has not abandoned us. That even in the midst of suffering, God is with us, and despite that suffering, God is making something beautiful in our world. And that death is not the end, whether that be physical death or symbolic death, that we will resurrect and we will rise, and there is hope in the midst of darkness. And not only that, but that there's something beautiful and divine and mysterious about Christ as well. That there's something about who Jesus was that grounds us and reminds us of what it means to be and how to be truly human. It's been said before that we've been made in the image of God, and it's been said before that Christ is the clearest image that we have. So friends, as we enter into the world again, may we remember that Christ is with us in all things, no matter how hard, no matter how difficult, Christ is in all things. Christ is turning the world to what is beautiful and what is good. Christ has invited us into this. And not only that, there is hope. Even if it's slim, even if it's just a glimmer, even if it's dim, there is hope. So do not lose it, because God is with you. Friends, may you trust that Christ is the Savior, the Messiah, the Christ, the one who will come to make all things well, both here and now and not yet and almost. Friends, may you sit in this mystery, and may you find hope. Amen. Amen. Would you pray with me? Gracious Lord, our hope is in you. Our trust is in your Son, Jesus Christ, and his faithfulness to your word and your plan and your will, but also to the church and her well-being. God, help us trust you. Help us know that there is hope. Help us find the good and the beauty even in the midst of the difficult times. Lord, help us walk with each other as you walk with us. God, help us be your people. May we be formed in your image. May your light and your love and your grace shine through us. And Lord, every day, just like jumping rope, every day may our spirits be made a little bit stronger, because we know that we can lay our burdens down at the foot of your cross. We know that you'll carry us when we need it, that you'll help us walk when we're ready, and that when we can run, you'll run with us. So God, be with us and help us see what you are already doing in the world. Through the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, all the people said, Amen. So join us as you are comfortable in standing and singing our final hymn, which is My Lighthouse.
Wrestling and in my doubts, in my failures, you won't walk out. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Whoa, you are the peace in my troubled sea. In the silence, you won't let go. In the questions, your truth will hold. Your great love will lead me through. You are the my troubled sea. Whoa, you are the peace in my troubled sea. My lighthouse, shining in the darkness, I will follow you. Oh, my lighthouse, I will trust the promise. You will carry me safe to shore, safe to shore, safe to shore, safe to shore. I won't fear what tomorrow brings. With each morning I'll rise and sing. My God's love will lead me. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Whoa, you are the peace in my troubled sea. My lighthouse, shining in the darkness, I will follow you. Oh, my lighthouse, I will trust the promise. You will carry me safe to shore. Safe to shore, safe to shore. Fire before us, you're the brightest. You will lead us through the storm. Fire before us, you're the brightest. You will lead us through the storm. Hey! Fire before us, you're the brightest. You will lead us through the storm. Fire before us, you're the brightest. You will lead us through the storm. My lighthouse, shining in the darkness, I will follow you. Oh, my lighthouse, I will trust the promise. You will carry me safe to shore, safe to shore, safe to shore, safe to shore.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Brothers, sisters, siblings in Christ, may God bless you. May God keep you. May God lift God's face upon you and smile. May you have hope. Go now in the grace and the love of the Messiah, the Son of the living God. May you know that there is hope. May you know you're not abandoned. May you know that no matter what you're going through, God is with you, and that the church is with you as well. Friends, go in grace, go in love, support one another, and know that God loves you also, now and forever. And all the people said, amen. Amen. Go, rest, enjoy your Sabbath. Today, our service is ended.